Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
Hallelujah. Apostle Jackie is going to come and she's going to take this next session, and then we're going to come back and do a Q&A. So if you have questions, please write them down and we'll address those. But I want you to do something very special with me right now, if you don't mind. I want us to just stand together and pray. My wife, Apostle Joanne, she is actually getting ready to speak at 2:30 our time at a conference in Nashville. And so that's why she's not with me right now. I know she's got a lot in her. She's a phenomenal teacher, preacher. But I don't like her not being with me. But the Lord is really challenging me to be a big boy. And, you know, let her do what she needs to do. And we're doing that. And she is a really phenomenal, phenomenal speaker. So would y'all just join me for a few minutes? Let's just pray over her. Can we do that? Father, we just speak today your word over Joanne. And we just decree, Father, that gift that she is to the body of Christ is stirring. We call it forth. We put a demand on that gift, Father, to that apostolic anointing, prophetic anointing, that teacher's anointing. Father, we just say to stir that by Holy Spirit, that as she steps in front of those people to speak, that you will flow through her. They will hear from heaven, and that it will flow and it will be insightful. Not in a religious way, but in a very prophetic, apostolic way, as she brings your kingdom into greater perspective for that group that she is speaking to. So, Lord, we bless her. We just say, Joanne, stir the gift that you are to the body of Christ. And we caused, Father, today, we call a great release of anointing and outpouring through Joanne today, as she teaches, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we pray for Greg because he really misses her. Yeah, she's good. I'm the pitiful one. But Apostle Jackie, come on, give her a hand as she comes.
Ah, yay. This is going to be fun. It's kind of intimidating to teach after Greg. And I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's not going to be super deep breakdown verses today, because I'm going to share with you a journey that the Lord's had me on for the last 30 years. I'm not going through all 30 years. I'm breaking it down into what I've come to call the dismantling of the Masonic church structure. Greg was talking about this all over the place today, but I've got a few slides. The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. It doesn't look like the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, go to the third slide if you can. Go to the next one, please. This is what the kingdoms of the world look like. Everybody's climbing and trying to get to the top of the pinnacle that they have in their sights. Now, what these pictures, I never could find one that really showed what I wanted it to show. How many of you remember playing King of the Hill when you were kids? Yeah. And what was the objective of King of the Hill? Knock everybody off so you got to the top. That is the kingdoms of this world. Yeah. Yeah. That is the Masonic church structure. Come on, let's shoot straight. Next one. Next slide. It's all about the pyramidal system. It's all a pyramid. We see pyramid structures. Even as I was going through trying to search for pictures that would depict what I wanted to show, when I was even putting in things like Kingdom of God, Foundation of Apostles and Prophets, do you know what it came up looking at? It had the apostles and the prophets down here with Jesus, and everything else looked like this. Over and over and over again. Because we can say that Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets of old are the foundation that we're built on, but we're building up into a top pinnacle point. All it takes is being involved in church world to discover that if you're in call to ministry, okay, we're all ministers, okay? But we understand the language I'm using, right? This is a part of what God is having to dismantle and detox us from. Because when you're in that system, you're moving in promotion. How many youth pastors have their eyes set on being a senior pastor? How many teachers, the new thing on the street became the prophets? And the teachers, pastors and teachers, all of a sudden had a prophet title. And we had the prophets for a while. And I'm going to throw this one in here. We had the prophets and the intercessors for a while. I know I'm stepping on toes. I'm used to it. I hope your toes are ready. Maybe you need boots on today. But the prophets and the intercessors were leading the charge, say, in the 80s. All of a sudden, we get to the 90s and the early 2000s, and the new leadership title is apostle. Well, guess what happened to the prophets and the intercessors? They became apostles in title. Am I telling the truth? And here's what it is. It was the building up. Go back a slide. And see that. Go back one if you can. You see the woman climbing up? It starts with manager. You can't see that because I couldn't get it fixed, right? To director to CEO. So we went from intercessor to prophet to apostle.
Yep.
Climbing the ladder of success. Pyramidical kingdoms of this world. Where do we see the pyramids historically? Let's go to the pyramid again. Egypt. Where's the foundation of the Masonic order? Do you see how it has infiltrated into the church? It changed the government of what God intended and shifted it and modeled it to be like the Egyptian Masonic structure. Goes all the way back to Phoenicians. I know I'm messing with our timelines. But it's infected us all. And the first way to get detoxed is to understand what has infected you. You have to know, like if you're even you're in a natural detox position, that you're going through a physical detox, if you go to detox from the wrong thing and you don't target by what you're eating and the supplements you take and all of that, you may not be detoxing from the right thing. So we need to know what we're detoxing from. We're detoxing from the kingdoms of this world that are ancient.
That's right. Yes.
Go to the next slide. This shows it a little bit of what I was talking about, the climbing to the top. See, we've got to get out of this mindset of I have to claw my way to the top. Do you know what that does? It produces striving, competition, jealousy, envy, and murder.
Yeah. That's right.
May not murder you physically, but it may. If you see it in the world, we see that murderous spirit. Because I'm going to overcome you by the force of my own will and by the force of my personality, the force even of my gifting. It's a world system. It's that mindset of I have to come to the top, and if you're in my way, I'm going to move you out of the way. Now, does that look as nasty to y'all as it does to me? And the deal is, it doesn't always look that in your face. I'm pulling the pretty clothes off of it. Because much of the church system is caught in this. True confession, I was caught in it. And when I stepped off of the merry-go-round, the gerbil wheel, of doing what everybody else was telling me I had to do to be successful, I had to disengage from everything to detox. And all of a sudden, I'm in this disengaged place, and I'm going, oh my God. I didn't see that. I didn't recognize it. I didn't know that's what this was, because it was natural culture. And so when we see that, that is that repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All of a sudden, the light bulb starts going on, and you begin to see where you've operated in a system and a mindset and a belief process that's climbing the hill. It breeds, what did I say? Competition, jealousy, envy, and murder. It breeds secret society. It breeds, I can't let anybody else know what I'm doing because it's elite. It's an elite mentality. Is this making sense to folks? Like, well, if you haven't been trained in my way, you're not qualified. If you're not doing it the way I tell you to do it exactly, you're disqualified. But it also breeds a continuation of the sin that we're to be delivered from, the rebellion and the treason. Because if you think you're the answer, you will not have this ability to submit to a greater authority than you are. And so if someone walks into the room that has a greater authority than you carry, well, but God told me. I can be a little blunt, sorry. Not really. But see, if you won't submit to a greater authority, like Greg walks in the room teaching this, what did I say when I first started? It's a little intimidating to follow that level of authority. But I know God said, and Greg said, you're teaching, okay? So he's in this house, so in a way he's submitted to my authority in this house, but in kingdom you, I'm submitted to his. And if he didn't feel like I had something to teach in this session, I'd be sitting right there taking notes a mile a minute. Because see, in the kingdom, we're not in competition. We're moving together according to the assignment in the authority that God has granted. I'm not intimidated by his authority. I'm grateful for it. Because here's the deal. When we connect with the authority God has placed, do you know what happens with the rest of us? Our authority rises. Because that which is flowing from the greater authority impacts us to come up to a higher level in the spirit, not on the pyramid. Because related to the pyramid, the greater authority you have, the more humble you become, the more of a foundation stone you become, and everything else can be built up, because it's not about you, it's about bringing forth the kingdom and about helping other people come into their right place and position, their place of authority, so that the whole building is built up, made of living stones, fitted together to display the splendor of our King and His kingdom. So we've got to detox from this climbing up the system, climbing up this man-made thing with scaffolding all around, because if the scaffolding is removed, what's left? If the support system is removed, if the organization that you've been climbing to the top of is no longer there, where are you? Now we have to take a look at the kingdom of God. Jesus said, he who will be leader of all will be servant of all. See, when you're climbing the pyramid, you're not thinking about servanthood. Greg said it earlier. He said, if you're going to be called to the fivefold, if God has called you to the fivefold, you're going to lay down your hopes, your dreams, your vision, your everything in order for the greater fulfillment of dreams, vision, and purpose. And the deal is, when you do that, when you lay down your life for that fulfillment, yours gets fulfilled. Doing what some of us do, and I'll just use myself as an example, doing what I do with City Gate Atlanta was a dying to self, and continues day after day being a dying to self. There's been sacrifices along the way, and I don't say this to feel sorry for me. It was a sacrifice because I saw what God was calling me to. I saw the hope for a transformation of this region. And I knew I had this little piece. And when I say I saw this little piece, there were, what, 15 or 20 of us? And God said, this is what I've called you to do. And if I had 15 or 20 that God said, do this, and that's what we did, I'd be fine with that. It didn't matter. And the progression, if I was to take you through the journey of how we got to here in 12 years, is absolutely only the hand of God. But it's the hand of God as we said, yes, I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Yes, I'm willing to say no to my kids when they said, will you come take care of my grandkids? You understand? Now, that's not the choice for everybody. But God said, I know you would enjoy doing that, but I'm asking you to do this because I need this. And so I said, yes. That wasn't easy. Because the expectation in the family is you do that. And God said, no, you do this. And I could give you example after example, but see, it's a becoming servant to Him, not a religious mindset of I die to God to do the servant of all. I said something really significant right there. Did you catch it? Because sometimes religion says, servant of all, then you give up what you're supposed to be doing. Now, if you're doing it out of your own flesh, just for your own edification and your own stuff, yeah, because that's different. But if you have an assignment that God has said, this is what I've called you to do, you yield everything to serve that. And in that, you're serving the all. Because the best place you will ever be for your family, your friends, your neighbors, and for your community is doing what God called you to do. If you're trying to save your family by just serving them and you're forsaking God, you will not get them. Just won't happen. Now, that's counter to religious thinking. Religious thinking says you give all that up and go serve your family. I'm letting that penetrate in a lot of religious layers of doctrine. Okay? Now, do I serve my family? Yeah. Do I love my family? Yes. But I was not going to forsake the call of God, the assignment of God, because I knew it was an enticement to take me out of the assignment. Because if the enemy can't get you to stop completely, he'll distract you. I love this quote I ran across a little while ago. The church is not built on the rock foundation of geniuses and influencers, but of apostles and prophets. I love that. Not on the foundation of geniuses and influencers. Much of the religious church is built on geniuses and influencers. Who has the most popularity, the greatest ability to put on a good show, and I love quality. My background is music and arts, so I like it being right. And like it being good, but I will not sacrifice God for the good of a performance. Because that can influence, but for how long? And what's it influencing for? What's being edified? What's being built up? What's being birthed into the people of God if it's being built on the foundation of geniuses and influencers? There are a lot of geniuses that can take the Word of God and unpack it way beyond anything I'll ever be able to do. And maybe even with the right theology. But if it's not kissed from heaven for government on the earth, what's the point? If it's not producing in us an understanding of our call as the ecclesia to govern and to shift territories and nations and the systems of the world, the governments of the world, into the government of our God, then what's the point? God's shifting us. I'm watching your wheels are turning. I'm watching. See, we've got to get back to the biblical foundation of the ecclesia is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. And I loved what Greg brought out last night of the cornerstones, just not down here at the bottom. Do you know where that picture came from? The Masons. Because they put this cornerstone in there, and the church has adopted that view. Many of the traditional churches even have a cornerstone in the corner of their building of their year of establishment. And many of those have a Masonic stamp on them. And the whole steeple. Where do you find a steeple in Scripture? I'm just throwing that one's out there for free of charge. Just the ponderings that I've had over the years as I've looked at this. Because see, God is wanting us to see this foundation of apostles and prophets with Christ as the chief cornerstone, setting the plumb line in order so that everything for all generations throughout all time as we continue building is in plumb with heaven. Is in plumb. And when I say with heaven, I'm talking about the kingdom of God that rules in perfection in heaven so that it will rule in increasing perfection in the earth. But see, if we're not dropped to the plumb line of the cornerstone of Christ, we're going to be tilted. We're going to be like the Leaning Tower of Pisa because we've lost our plumb. So I'm saying, God, secure our foundations, uproot things that have caused us to be tilted bring us into a balance. So if you're somewhat like me, you kind of go through this process, well, how did we get here? Because when Jesus ascended, sent forth the Holy Spirit, the governor, right? So that we would be the representation of the kingdom of heaven on earth as the kingdom of God, right? What happened between first century church and where we are today in 2022? What happened in this process? So we come along to about 300 and whatever AD with Constantine. How many of you know much about this process? I know some of you do. Constantine came in. He had this vision of a cross in the sky and takes Rome that had been the antithesis of Christianity, persecution, all this kind of stuff, and suddenly makes Christianity the state religion. Now, what he did was he took the truths of the ecclesia, the truths of the kingdom of God, and he mixed them with the truths, in quotes, and the practices, the doctrines and the dogmas of the temple of Mithras. Pyramidical, separation, clergy, laity, priests to go before God instead of you. The Roman Church was born, separated from the foundations that were established at the very beginning. Took it away from the apostolic prophetic foundations to the point that over the course of time, from that point forward, Peter became the apostle. The Pope became the father, right? Apostles and prophets didn't exist anymore. We then have priest, not apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You see where I'm going with this? Separated from the cycles of God, the truths of God as revealed throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, so that we're continually learning, we're continually going not linear, but going around, and every cycle around, we're learning something more about God. We're moving into greater and greater union with Him, learning and being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we're more and more like Him. Because the more and more we're like Him, guess what? The greater and greater authority will walk in the earth. See, you can't walk in authentic authority in the earth if you're not authentic with Him. If you're not transparent with Him, He's not going to release His glory and His authority through you. So the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, sets all of these practices in place. Do you know where the whole narthex and the altar rail and the podium and you there and us up here comes from? It's all out of Mithras. Every bit of it. And so what they did in order to keep peace in Rome was blended it all together. And what happened to the church at that point is a loss of the power, the authority, and the dominion of the kingdom. It got hijacked into another kingdom. Is this making sense? I know I'm shaking some. This is revelation that I have come to through a lot of personal study, personal walking it out, and have paid a price for it. A deep price. Okay? And I don't, again, I'm just telling you, coming out of the systems of the world, the kingdom of the world, and moving into the kingdom of God, it has tentacles that you have to get detoxed from. And you have to have this bold, courageous, I'm moving with God, and God, I trust you with all that. Because if I seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. That includes all of that. Okay? So one of the parts of my journey in coming into this was the Lord in 2004 took me to Ireland. Supernatural trip. I mean, it was just like, boom, here you're going. Now, prior to that, actually Bradley was a part of this, and maybe some of the rest of you participated. We did the G8 prayer summit. And during that, we were praying over the G8 that was located down in Sea Island in 2004. And God used that with all of us to really bring us into an experiential operation as kingdom of God, as ecclesia, even before we were using the word ecclesia. But we were functioning as the kingdom of God on earth in alignment with the kingdom of heaven. Heaven and earth were aligning. We could tell you story after story, some amazing, amazing things that happened during that journey. So there was an awakening happening in me to some things of the kingdom that I knew by study, but had not come into experientially. Okay? Right after that, I got invited to go to Ireland, and my mind was about to get blown. Because I walk onto the land, and I have an encounter with the Lord. And it was at the place where Patrick, that he was not Catholic. Can we just break that off of everybody, please, in Jesus' name? Do not allow him to be stolen into a system that he was not a part of. Because he had been a slave, was taken captive, didn't know God, even though he was raised in a God-fearing home that had apostolic faith. I want you to hear that. Now, there was the other system that was coming in, but in his family, you can see that. But he confesses he didn't know God. He spends time on the side of the hill tending sheep in the cold and the harsh weather and everything else. And in that process, he got to know the one true and living God. He began to cry out. Wouldn't you cry out if you were on a hillside in Northern Ireland with a lean-to to protect you from the elements, the wind, the snow, and the freezing cold? It's a cold place. I'm just going to tell you, even in the summer, it's cold. And the wind's blowing, and you're tending to these animals. And he's 16 years old. That'll break you. Some of us need some breaking. And he got to know God like Peter on the backside of the desert, or Paul on the backside of the desert. When he went from Saul to Paul, he got to know God in a place like Patrick did on Mount Slemish. Then he supernaturally, God takes him back home, brings him back. He ends up standing on Slain Hill, and at the defiance of the pagan king, this is apostolic Christianity, at the defiance of the king who said, if anybody lights their fire before I do, I'll kill them. Patrick said, nobody's lighting a fire before I might light my fire to the one true and living God. He lit his fire. They came to get him. He ends up leading the pagan king to the Lord and changes a nation. Now, that's a very simplified version. There's a whole lot more to it. But out of that apostolic core, there were apostolic centers. There were apostolic prophetic ministries that were released all across Ireland, Scotland, Wales, out beyond, all the way to Norway, into other nations, that carried the seed of apostolic Christianity that changed communities and nations. They established the arts, the entertainment. They established the government. They went in and spoke to these kings. They had favor with the kings. They had a voice that was kissed from heaven because they heard what the kingdom of heaven was saying and released it as the kingdom of God on the earth. Why not today? And see, the last vestige of first century apostolic Christianity was the Celtic Church. And it succeeded until in the year 600 and something. Forgotten the exact year. And finally, the Roman Church came in and shut it down. Stripped the movement of God of power and authority. Came under the kingdoms of the world, under a false government, under a false rule, and lost the call to be a government. And see, God wants us to be a family. And I would even propose to you, we're not going to be the fullness of the government God's called us to be if we don't learn how to operate in the fullness of family. Right. Yes. Love, honor, preferring one another in the fear of the Lord, walking together in humility, walking together caring and loving and tending to one another, but with an apostolic mindset. To see if we walk together with a shepherd pastor mindset only, without an apostolic mindset, I'm going to say, oh, you're okay staying in the mess you're in. I'm going to love you and take care of you and make sure you stay right there. Woe be to me if I do that. I mean that really serious. I'm not being sarcastic by that. I'm really serious. But see, we've got to come out from under that mindset. And lest we think it's just the Catholic Church. Those seeds were sown into every religious structure of the church. And we're having to confront it so that it doesn't continue. And I'll be real honest, it's in parts of the apostolic movement. And it could be the demise if we don't get rid of this. Because we're never called to be the pinnacle of a pyramid. Being the chief apostle is not in the doctrines of the Bible. The Reverend Dr. Chief Apostle, you know, whatever, just shake it off, get rid of it, please. There's a foundation that we must return to. Greg mentioned some of this last night, of some of the things that have happened in this city. One of the things that happened in this city was a perversion of touch not the Lord's anointed. And when debauchery was happening and people knew it, don't touch the Lord's anointed. It's doctrines of demons.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we have to get back to the foundation of who does God call us to be? We're not a religion. He didn't come for that. He came for a government.
That's right.
He came for us to demonstrate the kingdom. And there's all kinds of ways we're going to demonstrate the kingdom. It's going to be in the signs and the wonders and miracles. But what if a part of demonstrating the kingdom is that the world looks at us and go, wow, they're prospering.
Yep, that's right.
They're really like living in peace, joy, and harmony together.
Yes.
When the rest of the world is going crazy.
Yeah. Right.
What if, when they're attacked, they turn away wrath with a gentle word?
Yeah.
What if hatred comes at them and they sow peace? What if instead of being peacekeepers, we become peacemakers?
Yeah.
See, religion will have us be peacekeepers, tolerance. My kids are old enough. I've got one that'll be 40 in October. How in the world did that happen? I'm not sure, but he'll be 40. I remember when he was in elementary school and they began infiltrating the word tolerance into the school system. And I went, wait a minute. There are things, according to this book, we're not to tolerate. But tolerance slipped in through the schools, and then it slipped into the church. The slippery, gooey, ooey grace message followed right on the heels of tolerance. Just tolerate things. Love people. Can I just tell you that we've redefined the word love? I can love you and do love you, but I can certainly disagree with you if you're going in the wrong direction. And if my love is real and true, I'm going to come over and I'm going to say, the path you're on is leading you to destruction. Yes. Ephesians says, every man speak truth in love to his neighbor. Everyone. See, the worst thing you can do to someone going down a path of destruction is be silent. That's right. Because that's actually saying you don't care. Yeah. That's right. Now you got to do it in love. You got to do it in ways that are according to the book. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, mercy. We got to do that. Yeah. But we've got to have this revamping of the way we think about the church being a safe place to come. I had somebody recently tell me that they felt Citygate Atlanta was safe, and I went, not? Especially after they told me what they thought that it was safe for. Because they were teaching, they were carrying in their soul a doctrine of demons. Now, I didn't know when they were just coming in. But they came in with the audacity to say, we think you'll study this out and agree with us. I flipped through it, and I looked at them, and I said, I've faced this demon before, and no, I'm not. And she looked at me like, well, you need to study. I said, I'll look at your stuff, but I can tell you, I already faced that demon off. It nearly killed me, and I'm not going back there again. So she found out it wasn't safe. You know what? She hadn't been back. You know what? Hallelujah.
That's right.
Because I'm keeping it safe for those who are pursuing the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the only thing an ecclesia is supposed to be safe for, is those that are authentically pursuing the kingdom of God.
That's right.
It's not for every pet doctrine. It's not for something that is twisting what the Word of God says. It's not for something that is promoting the kingdoms of the world. It's for building and establishing and advancing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Receiving the engrafted Word of God with joy, allowing it to do its full work in us so that God might do His full work through us. Because He cannot, He will not do through us what we don't allow Him to do in us first. If you want to walk in authentic kingdom authority, you must allow kingdom authority to work in you first. You will never have authority over anything that has authority over you. That's a major key for all of us if we're going to make it through this place. But the kingdom of God is advancing. It's advancing in us so that it might advance through us. We're coming free. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for every place where we are still filled with the toxins of the kingdom of this world, of the Masonic church structure that's all about hierarchy and all about being king of the hill and all about keeping people in their place. God, anywhere that system that has stripped your church of power, has stripped your church of true understanding, stripped your church of the right place that you have for us, God, would you detox us? We invite you to put us on a detox program. Flush out the toxins of the things that we've been taught, even from our youth, that are contrary to you. And Father, for those of us today, in a new way, I just saw this. We say we step into the baptismal waters of the kingdom of God. We step in. We are disassociating. That's what that baptism was all about. We're disassociating from the religious structures that we have been in. And we're stepping in to agree with the message of the kingdom of God. And then just like at Ephesus, we're saying, we want the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this new place. Oh, I felt something on that. We've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit while in the old structure. What would happen if we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit baptized into this message? I mean, I feel that all over me.
Yeah.
Just let that soak over you. Lord, where we've attempted to walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, still under that old kingdom of this world, where the Holy Spirit is to do the bidding of the Masonic church structure, we ask you to forgive us. And Lord, today, see us stepping in into a new revelation of the kingdom of God. And now baptize us afresh and anew with Holy Spirit to empower us to be who you called us to be as your ecclesia, in the power and the authority of the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.